All right, turn over to Revelation 21, Revelation 21. Out with the old and with the new would be the title today. And I'm kind of already in the new year mode, amen. And I know we've had some different things go on and kind of pushed some things and did some Christmas specials and all that today, and that's great. Enjoy that time of year. Looking forward, though, to 2024. And so we're just hours away from that happening. About in 12 hours and 20 minutes, we'll be getting set up to do some praying, amen, and pray in the new year. Can you believe it? We're just a little over 12 hours away from a new year. That is a blessing, amen. And so Revelation 21, we're going to look at what the Bible refers to, talking about things being made new. Going to be giving an interesting thought in reference to that this morning. We're in Revelation 21, beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Boy, we look forward to that day. Amen. No more pain, sorrow, no more sickness, no more crying, none of those things. Amen. And those former things will be passed away. Jesus here says, "Behold, I make all things new." What a blessing. Let's pray. We'll jump into this message. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the good singing, God. Thank you for the special with the young people. God, thank you, Lord, for just being with us throughout this year. Thank you for bringing people out today for this service. I know there's some that couldn't make it today. They're still a little ill. Pray that you'd raise them up. Lord, we just thank you, God, for the opportunity to meet together as a church. I pray that you'd help today to be everything you'd want it to be. Might it be a special day for each one that's here as the Word of God is preached. God, help me as I preach. I pray that everything that you would want brought forth would definitely be brought out today, and that you would just tune people into your message today for your glory and for their sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an amazing, amazing passage here that we're reading. And this actually shows a direction, right? And so if we look at what Jesus is saying here, and he's saying that there's coming a day that all this death and sorrow and sickness and crying and all this stuff is going to be done away with, and that ultimately that he's going to make all things new. And so we see a direction. So from where sin entered into our world, and of course we know sin, the wages of sin is death. Sin is what brings sickness and sorrow and pain and all these things, crying. And so we see a starting point to that. And we see Christ who came and he did that work on the cross of Calvary that we could not do for ourselves so that we could be saved. And ultimately we see all that stuff done away with that sin brought in and everything being made new. And so sin brought in death, it brought in sickness, it brought in sorrow, pain, disease, anguish, crying, it brought in rebellion, discontentness, complaint, disappointment, and heartache. It brought all that stuff in, and there is coming a day when all that's going to be removed and everything will be made new again. And I praise the Lord for that. By the way, the government's not going to usher that in. Jesus is going to usher that in. Amen. Now, Christ's work and plan is what is eradicating these things from this world. It's Christ's work. It's not our work. It's not a work done here on earth outside of God, but through God. In Matthew 1:21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Look over at 1 Corinthians 15, and while you're looking there to verse 55, listen to Romans 6, verse number 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He has eternal life to give to you, a life that does not end, because there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no sorrow attached to it. It's eternal life, and it is life that's new every day. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, the Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 58. Based on that, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Turn back, if you would, please, over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21 speaks of a time. It's after the final judgment there, the great white throne judgment there of Revelation 20. It's after the millennial kingdom, which is before that last judgment. It's after all those things. And in Revelation 21, God speaks of the time that he makes all things new. He does away with all that was wrecked by sin, all that sin brought in. And look at verse number 1 now. We didn't read this far ahead to start. Let's do that now. Revelation 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What a glorious time we're looking ahead to, when all things will be made new, when all the corruption is gone, all the sin. And by the way, if you're linked to some sin and you find enjoyment in that, that's all going to be gone in that day. Amen. So you might as well get used to it today. Amen. Just go ahead and walk away from it today. That's not going to be a part of the kingdom of God. And what we have today in salvation is only the beginning. You see, we serve in what's called the new covenant. It's the new covenant spoken of in Jeremiah 31 as well as in Hebrews 8 that we find salvation attached to. It's a new covenant because it is a covenant that makes things new. A new day is coming and should have already come if you're born again. If you're not saved today, things can begin today to be new in your life, which will ultimately culminate in that time frame when all things will be made new. And so we start at the position of sin, sickness, death, sorrow, but we're heading to a position of life, a newness of life. God's come that we might have life through his name. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 21 now in verse number 6. Continuing on, it says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Look at verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, that's those that reject God and his way, and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, those that reject life, those that would rather have death, those that hate me love death. Those that don't want life, by the way, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, it says in John. So if you reject Christ, you reject life, and you're only stuck with death. And there is a great vacating of the earth taking place there at the end of Revelation 20, going into 21, where death and hell are delivered up and the earth is vacated. I believe the universe as we know it is vacated. And all those that rejected life are cast into outer darkness, a lake of fire, eternal fire, that they will abide with where there is no life and only continual death. But for you and I that have chose life, amen, this is just the beginning, and life just keeps getting better and better, if you will, all the way to where all death is eradicated, all sickness is eradicated, all dying and all disease and all lying and all murdering and all this is eradicated to where there is only life, new life, as God intended it in the first place. In Jeremiah 21:8, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." Amen. He gives us a choice today. You either choose that way of life or you choose that way of death. That is the choice before mankind today. In Deuteronomy 30, look over there, please. Deuteronomy 30 and in verse number 19. Now, we're going to learn some things about life and what life really is. And it's pretty profound by the Word of God what it is and what's availed to us today. Now, I realize we still dwell in the midst of a dying world. But you and I, if we have life now in us, it should be different for us. Our existence on this dying planet should be different if the life of Jesus Christ has been breathed into you. We find in Deuteronomy 30, verse number 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you." This was to Israel before they were entering into the promised land, "that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." That's more than just a slogan for the anti-abortion crowd and all. It's true for all of us. Amen. We should be people that have chose life, not death. It says that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. Who is the source of life? Well, truly it's Jesus Christ. He is life. Amen. And say, "Well, I just need to live a little." No, you can't live until you chose Jesus. Amen. There is no life apart from God. Amen. All there is death and sickness and pain and sorrow. In John 10:10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The abundant life is a life lived in Jesus. All kinds of people are choosing sin today. They're choosing drugs over Jesus. They're choosing alcohol over Jesus. They're choosing a promiscuous life over Jesus. They're choosing all kinds of things over life. And what they're really choosing is death. They're choosing death over life, death over Jesus Christ. Look over at 1 Corinthians 5, if you will. 1 Corinthians 5. Let me ask you this. How would you describe your life today? Is it a life that is indicative of life? Or is it a life that's really just death, indicative of death? An abundant life as a Christian is how God intended for us to live today. You, dear saint today, you dear Christian today, would others look at you and say, "I don't want any of that. That looks pretty horrible." Or they look at you and say, "I see life in you. There's something in you that's different that I don't see in the world. There is a light there. There is life in you. And I want to have what you have." Amen. Hallelujah. That's what people should see in you and I as saints. Can I say in this new year, let us strive to have that life of Christ just flowing from us. Amen. That others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 7, the Bible tells us, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump." Amen. "As ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." We should be people that are a sincere people, not a people that are cloaked or living a lie. We should be a people that are just genuine, amen, genuine in heart, that love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our might. People should know us to be those kind of people because we've laid aside the leaven out of our lives and we're walking in truth. Look at Romans chapter 6. I'm going to have you turn a few places if you don't mind today. If nothing else, it'll keep you engaged. Amen. Romans chapter 6 and in verse number 3. It's going to be in that fourth verse that we hear that phrase that we're so familiar, that phrase called newness of life. Is that how you walk today? In a newness of life? Have you ever got anything new? Maybe over the Christmas time, you open up a gift and it was actually new. It wasn't just a hand-me-down. That'd be a blessing. We don't typically give gifts that are already been used, amen. You don't open up a gift and it's just a pack of gum that's already been chewed, amen. We like to actually have a gift that's new, amen. It's never been used. But do you know this? In this world, when you get something that's new, do you know that from that point on, it's decaying? It's growing old. Isn't that interesting? Do you know in Christ that when He makes something new, it's perpetually new? I want you to consider that thought today. It's continually new. That's why turning over a leaf doesn't work, because you turn it over, that side's just decaying too. But when you choose life in Jesus, it's new every moment. It's maintained in that new state. That's how our salvation should be. That's why it doesn't get old serving Jesus. That's why it doesn't get old reading our Bible. That's why it doesn't get old living with Jesus and living for Jesus. If your life is old and stale, you've chose death over life, amen. But you can have life today through the Word of God and His name today. It should never get old. It should never get boring. It should never get humdrum. You should never have a bad day in Jesus. Well, you just don't understand my life. No, you don't understand what the abundant life is in Jesus Christ, as He describes it in the Word of God. See, you're kind of excited today. Man, I've been studying this. I just want to just absolutely shout and run the rooftops today, amen, based on this message and the truths that are found herein. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" What we're going to find is, for there to be life, something had to die. Because we have death in us. And until the death dies, mortify therefore the deeds of your body. Until the death dies, that life can't come in. There's not a vacancy for it to fill, you see. It says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father," like as Christ was raised up. Wait, that's resurrection. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead. We ought to be so full of life as much as a dead guy that was resurrected. Our lives should appear as a resurrected life. You see, like as Christ was raised up from the dead, it says in this text, by the glory of the Father, even so we also, what's that next word? What is it? That means you have a choice. Even then we also should walk in newness of life. That means you, dear saint, you're making a choice. You're making a choice to either walk after that old life of death or to walk in newness of life. Can I say this year? Let it be a year that you walk in newness of life, maybe for the first time. So I'm born again, but man, I got salvation. It's not all that great. What in the world are you talking about? It's newness of life. It's something we've never experienced before. It's like getting something new and it never wears out. Israel got to experience that a little bit in the wilderness. They had shoes that never wore out. So that was a miracle. The Christian life is also a miracle. You see, and if you're not experiencing that, something's wrong. And it's not wrong with God, it's wrong with you. And it's because you're not purging out the old leaven. Say, "I like it." Oh, get rid of it. It's just sin. It's just corrupt. Wait, man, if you've tasted and you found out that the Lord is gracious, you ain't going back. Amen. Newness of life is what we should be after. Now, that phrase, "we should walk in newness of life," is actually in the subjunctive mood, aorist tense, an active voice. You say, what's so important about that? I know we don't care about the Greek tense half the time, amen. But it does show something. The subjunctive voice actually conveys the idea of potential action. What that means is this. You as a Christian, you may be born again and you've experienced a little bit of that life come in. But you're not walking in it because it's just potential. It's just potential. You can live the humdrum, defeated, morbid Christian life all you want. I'm not playing that pity party game with you, amen. Not when Christ has come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Not when Christ is offering unto you as I, as saints, newness of life. Now, if that's available, buddy, I'm in line. I am signing up for that one, amen. Now, it's potential. Aorist tense simply means, and that's not an English tense. There is no English aorist tense. It's a Greek tense. And what it means is this, is that the action can be continual. It is meant to be continual. Not in the perfect sense, but in the aorist sense. Meaning the whole gamut. Not just from here on like the perfect, but always, always. That you have the opportunity to live in this continually. And then the active voice shows us that the subject is the one that performs the action. Meaning that it's you and I that are to walk, that we should walk. Meaning, if you don't take the step, if you don't make that action to walk in that way, then you won't walk in that way. It's on you. It's not something God is going to force on you, you see. So, in life, as we buy new things, we enjoy them. But I don't know about you, but I it kind of gets a little depressing. You buy clothes, and before you know it, I have this really nice shirt I love, and I got this big old hole in my elbow on that thing. I'm still trying to wear it because I like it, amen, but I think at some point I'm going to have to retire it because it's getting old. It's getting old. Buy a car. Remember that black Geo Prism we had? It was a 1993 Geo Prism. We bought that thing brand new. We drove that thing just about until the wheels fell off, and I was sad that it did because it got great gas mileage and a fun car, four doors, great car. So you like four doors? Yeah, when you have a family, you like to have four doors. And anyway, it was just great, but it started getting rust and little bubbles and stuff corroded. My truck out there, a couple little spots of rust on that thing. That's what happens, isn't it? Starts out new, and it just starts to corrode. It starts to decay. It starts to rust. Buildings deteriorate, and they need renovated because that's the way it is in this life. But God has come, watch this, to stop that process. That's what God wants to stop in our life, is the process of sin. Remember, I started off saying that since Christ has come, he has started a process that ends with all things new. Before we get there, some things can be new. And you as a believer who have been made new now have an opportunity to walk in newness of life. Newness of life means that what God adds to me doesn't decay. It doesn't wax old like a garment. It doesn't degenerate. No, it stays in that new state. That's a miracle. That is an absolute miracle. Look over at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Now, this renewal process. First, you must be born again. Second, you must be willing to walk in newness of life. And then third, you have to know how to walk in that newness of life. You're turning over to Ephesians 4. I'll give you a passage in 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 11 says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in your mortal flesh. It goes on to say, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. It's important. You say, I don't know why so-and-so's going through what they're going through. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is trying to show them that what they're hanging on to is not good. And they need to let it die. And until they do, they won't experience life. Why is it that we hang on to death so tightly? We hang on to the corrupt things in our life like they're important to us. And God is trying to get us to see they're not good for us. Why is it people hang on to corrupt music like it's good for them? It's not good for you. It breeds corruption in you. It doesn't breed life in you. And on and on and on. Why is it people hold on to corrupt friends in their lives when all those people are doing is hurting you and they're speaking evil and corruptly to you and dragging you down? Why, when you can let go of that and God can replace in those people's lives, that God can put some good friends in your life that'll actually be an encouragement to you and a help? God wants to bring life to you in every meaning of the word. You see, and that's what we see. In this same text, it says in verse 16, you're not there, but I am. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Ephesians 4, where I had you turn, look at verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So the Bible says that we are to walk in what? Newness of life. But the Gentiles walk how? In the vanity of their minds. I'll say that again. So Christians are supposed to walk in newness of life. Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Do you see the difference? The Christians supposed to walk in a newness of life. And I want to show you how the Bible tells us that can happen. The Gentiles who know not God walk in whatever they can dream up. Whatever their mind wants. Whatever they lust for. The vanity of their mind. Do you know most people when they're young, they formulate in their mind this thought of how they want their life to be. Everything perfect, a job that gives a $10 raise every year, house that's perfectly set up, so I mean, it's just, I don't need to do anything except come in there and it cleans itself, it does everything, it makes my dinner, it washes my, everything, I don't do anything. I'm going to get married to this perfect girl or guy, good luck with that. And it's all just going to be, oh. That's the vanity of our mind. That's what it is. That's what we do. And we live in accordance with that. That's why we live in disappointment. That's why we live with continual, man, life stinks. That's why. Because we're not living in newness of life. Now, can a marriage be amazing? Can it be heaven on earth? Sure can. If both parties are living in newness of life, sure can, right? Our lives can. It could be a supernatural endeavor on earth. This is what God has given to us as believers. Amen? Look, this is how it happens. Verse number 18, Ephesians 4. It's going to go on and talk a little more about this process we want to get rid of. Having their understanding darkened, that's the Gentiles, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Now that's an unbridled lust. That is just the individual following whatever their heart's desire wants. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Look at verse number 20 though. It says, but ye, you and I as believers, have not so learned Christ. This is not how God has taught you and I as believers to live. If you choose to live that way, you chose death over life. If you've chose to live that way, you're rejecting the newness of life. You should walk in newness of life, but you don't have to. You can walk after the same vanity of your mind that the Gentiles walk in. Look at verse number 21. Christ is not teaching us this. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus. Here's the teaching. Verse 22. that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. What that means is this. What we brought into salvation in our mind, in our makeup, was basically a life of corruption. It was a life of deception. It was a life filled with deceitful lusts. And God didn't save you so that he could empower your old life to have everything at once. No, it's corrupt. And he's saying the only thing you can do with corruption is get rid of it. Some people say, well, I am like I am because of my upbringing. Maybe that needs to change. What if your upbringing was corrupt? You see what I'm saying? What if you were taught that lying's okay? Well, it's just who my family is. We're just a bunch of liars. Does that mean it's okay? No. No, you brought that in, and that needs to go. Do you see what I'm saying? Whatever we brought in with, it's really everything, right? I'm now a new creature in Christ Jesus. All that I brought in is corrupt. It's corrupt. It's deceitful. It's based on my lust. Lust of my flesh, which isn't good. Does that make sense? So Jesus said this, if you as a saint want to walk in newness of life, something needs to die. And what needs to die is all that corruption we brought in to our life at salvation. It all needs to die. So that there will be a vacancy made so we can bring something else in its place. Well, what is that? Well, this text goes on to say, it says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay. The renewal of our spirit of our mind is God's word will teach you how to think. The reality is you're not going to put off until you're beginning to be renewed, because we got to think differently. We have to understand that God loves you, God loves us, and he wants the best for you. God is not trying to ruin your day. He's trying to save the day. Amen. He's not trying to put a wet blanket over your party. He's trying to actually disconnect from you that which is causing corruption and decay in your life. Right? So we need to think differently. And how do we learn to think differently? By the word of God. We learn how God thinks. Look at verse number 24. Once our mind is renewed, brought to a newness, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, things that are created in righteousness and true holiness are created in a new state that never decay. They stay new. God's righteousness stays just as fresh as it was when it was brought forth. It's always fresh. God does not decay. His holiness does not decay. It's always new. Verse 25, wherefore, put away lying. Why? Lying is corruptive. It says, speak truth every man with his neighbor. Why? Truth is not. Truth is after righteousness. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. See, it's saying, get rid of the corruption, add righteousness. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The renewal process for the Christian is this. First, you must be born again. You have to be saved. Second, you must be willing to walk in newness of life. In other words, I'm willing to let go of anything that's corrupt in my life, even if I like it. Is it possible to like something that's not good for you? It sure is. So you have to be willing to let go of it. Amen? Or you won't walk in newness of life. So I'm willing. Third, we must learn to walk in newness of life by listening to Jesus, who points us to his word. And then fourth, Jesus by his word will show us what to put off and what to put on. And when we do that, by the way, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Amen? Joy. If you're not experiencing joy right now, it's probably because this process is like you're trying to live a corrupt life with some Christian overtones, and you're wondering why your life is a mess. I'll tell you why. Because you need to put some stuff off. Get rid of the old leaven. Walk in newness of life. In Romans 12, 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We don't even know what's good for us until we're willing to get rid of the old, whatever God says is old, whatever is decaying, and willing to put on whatever Christ says is good. We can't even discern God's will. Now, look over to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, very quickly. We'll begin to wrap this thing up. Ezekiel 18. We're talking about today what's new by God's perspective and how to get rid of the old so the new can be put in its place. And things that are new from God's perspective, they don't start to decay because what is new from his perspective stays new. It stays new. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 30, he says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God." He said, "Repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your," what is that word? Ruin. Remember, the wages of sin is even those sins you like. The wages of sin is death, even the ones you like. See, this is how we categorize sin. The bad sin is the stuff everybody else does. The sin that's manageable and okay, not that bad, that's what I like. But the reality is that all sin is going down. All sin leads downward. All sin is corrupt. All sin is deceitful. All sin is leading to death. All sin. So just because it's a sin you like, all that means is that you're okay. You're okay hanging on to that for some death, for it causing problems. You see, and a renewing in the mind says, no, I don't want any corruption, even if it's corruption I like. You see, that's what has to happen in your mind, that you're willing to let go of what you know is wrong, even though you like it. Because you see that it's dragging you to death. It's making you that person you don't like. It's causing you to be angry. It's causing you to have those thoughts that are hate-filled. It's causing you to have those thoughts of unfaithfulness. It's causing these things in you. And you got to let go of them. You have to be willing to walk in newness of life, you see. You say, but I like it. But it's killing you. It's hurting your relationships. It's keeping you from God. It's causing you to have those thoughts of hopelessness, those thoughts of despair, those thoughts of what's the use, those thoughts of it's never good enough. Well, in God, it's always good enough because he's good enough, you see. And so that's what, it's causing your ruin. And in this text, God is saying to turn from the transgressions, repent, because it's ruining you. Verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. I want 2024 for all of us to be a year of life. A year of abundant life. Not life as I see it, life as God sees it. Not life as I dreamt up. No, life as God has recorded for us. You see, that's what I hope 2024 is for each of us. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, we'll close with this text. Now, Jesus came to give you life. In order to obtain life, though, death has to be removed from us. Yes, we are born again, but we still have to remove the old leaven. The old leaven. Your dying soul had to be born again by receiving the gospel for life to have been breathed in. But your dying flesh now needs put off. And new parts need installed that are created with materials that are not corrupt. Now, by nature, it seems, I'm a mechanic. I fix things. In heaven, I will be out of a job. Because not, can you, I hope you get understand it. In heaven, if there are cars, they'll never break down. They'll never rust. They'll never corrode. Never. That's the thought of this text, is we're used to things breaking down on earth. It's just the way it is. But when God creates something outside of a sinful environment, it never decays. It never wears out. It stays in that perfect condition forever. There'll be no repaving of the streets of gold in heaven. You see what I'm saying? And if there's a street, maybe there's a car. I don't know. If God makes a tire for us, for our vehicles in heaven, that tire will never wear out. And can I say, dear saint, for you, we can experience that today. By the way, if you say you forgave somebody and you still have thoughts brewing in you that are causing you ulcers and different things, heart, you didn't experience true forgiveness. Because when true forgiveness comes, it stays in that state. It doesn't wax old. It doesn't, oh, it's good today, bad tomorrow. No, it's perfect. And that's what God is telling us. Get rid of the old so God can give us the new that never wears out. It stays in its new state. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, that means you're first born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections, your desires, your likes on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Based on that truth, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. It's going to list some. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, liking stuff you shouldn't like, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. When? Past tense. But now ye put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What that means is this: all these things that we put on that are based on the Word of God, they stay in that new state. They don't need maintained. They don't need shored up. They don't need anything from you and I, because God created them in righteousness and in true holiness. And they stay just as fresh a year from now as it was the day you got it. It's just as good 10 years from now, 100 years from now, as when my salvation doesn't get old. because it was made in heaven and given unto me. That's why I don't maintain it, because it's perfect. Every gift from God, all good gifts from God, everything that comes from God, that they're good, amen. And we can't help them become better because they're already perfect. Everything that God gives to us is perfect and stays in that new state. So the question I guess I have for you today, does that describe your life? My life is new. I mean, I wake up and it's like, oh man, it's just good to walk with God another day because, man, it feels fresh. It's new. There's nothing old about it. There's nothing humdrum about it. There's nothing decaying about it. There's nothing bad about it. It's all good, because that's how the believer's meant to live. And if you're living in such a case that that's not the case, find that old leaven and purge it out. Find those things that are transgressions. I'm going against the word of God, and put them off. And if you'll do that and seek God and say, now what should I put in its place? Your Christian life will be just as fresh today as it was when you got saved. Matter of fact, it's going to be better because more good has been added to it. More good things. That's what God intends for us. Every day that I live with Jesus is fresh and new as the day I got each of those things from him, to include my salvation. That's what God wants for us, 2024, that you walk, that we should, that we'll walk in newness of life.